The neighborhood we lived in before moving to New York did something every Christmas season that I thought was kind of neat. It was called the Christmas Walk. And each year, about 15 to 20 homes in our neighborhood would host an open house where drinks and desserts were served, and you would buy a ticket and get a map and then walk from house to house to house, seeing how each house and home was decorated both outside and inside, and sampling different desserts and different drinks at every stop. And I always thought it was a lot of fun to be a part of this group that would walk through our neighborhood. Sometimes we spontaneously broke out into carols as we went along, looking at all the decorations and sampling desserts, and sometimes drinking a little more than we should. Not me, but anyway. Every year, though, we'd look forward to this walk. And that got me thinking about a different kind of walk that we as Christians take every year during the season we call Advent. The word Advent comes from a version of the Latin word coming. And for Christmas, this Advent season is a time of expectant waiting and preparation for celebrating the birth of Christ. So during this Advent season here at DeWitt, we're going to use this idea of a Christmas walk to get us thinking about different stops and different experiences that are all a part of preparing for and celebrating the birth of Christ. And today I want to start out with this idea of walking in the dark, of times of uncertainty, of times of trial, of times where we wait and hope and we long for peace, where we long for God to make things right. And today we have two scripture readings. The first is from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, who longed for the coming of the Savior. And the second from the Gospel of Luke, which speaks of the second coming or the second advent of which we are now in. From the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, verses 14 through 16, we read this. The Lord said, "The time is coming when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the people of Israel and Judah. At that time, I will choose a king, a righteous descendant of David. That king will do what is right and just throughout the land. The people of Judah and Jerusalem will be rescued and will live in safety. The city will be called the Lord of our salvation." And in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 25 through 36, we read this. "There will be strange things happening to the sun, the moon, and the stars. On earth, whole countries will be in despair, afraid of the roar of the sea and of the raging tides. People will faint from fear as they wait for what is coming over the whole earth. For the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear coming in a cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your heads, because your salvation is near." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for you to speak to us through this, your word, and through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. Open our ears so that we might hear, open our minds that we might understand, and open our hearts so that we might experience your love and live with joy even as we walk in darkness. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Growing up, there was a woman who lived two doors down from us by the name of Mrs. Angeski. She was an older woman who lived with her grown son, who was developmentally disabled. Her husband had died many years before from black lung disease. In his early years, he had been a coal miner in Pennsylvania before taking a job on the line at Buick. My father would often help Mrs. Angeski out with things around the house, and in return, she would bake these wonderful cinnamon rolls. I can still kind of smell them. They were amazing. And she was an amazing cook and just an amazingly wise woman. And one of the things I will always remember about Mrs. Angeski was that she was a woman of strong faith. And one of the ways she expressed that faith was by putting a little plastic statue of Jesus on the dashboard of her Ford Galaxy 500. And one time I remember asking her why she put this plastic Jesus on her dashboard, and she said, to keep me from having accidents. She actually believed that having a plastic Jesus on her dashboard would somehow keep her from wrecking her car. And even back then, without an advanced degree in theology, I thought that that's more of a superstition than it is anything to do with faith. And I have to say that I see that kind of thinking often in people, and their thinking looks something like this. If I say my prayers, if I try really hard to do everything right, if I go to church enough, if I don't cheat or steal or lie, if I try really hard to live a good life and please God, if I do all these things, then God will somehow bless me and keep me from harm. And then something goes wrong. They get in an accident, or they're diagnosed with a rare disease, or a family member is diagnosed with a rare disease, or they lose their job, or they have this major life crisis, and they think that somehow God has failed them. My sister went through this when she was in college. My brother enlisted in the Air Force, and she was concerned that he would be sent to Vietnam during the time that the war was raging. And she prayed really, really hard that my brother would not have to go, that he would be kept stateside. And then at Christmas dinner, my brother wasn't there, but the rest of us were there, at Christmas dinner, she said to our family, God has told me that David will not be stationed in Vietnam. And I'm like, oh, really? Well, guess what happened in January? He went, absolutely. He was assigned to an aerial reconnaissance unit in Vietnam. In June, he was shot down in Cambodia, but rescued before he was captured. My sister was wrong about what she thought God was saying to her, and it caused quite a crisis of faith for her. But fortunately, my brother did come home safe, so that prayer was answered. But I often hear of people who lose faith when bad things happen. They thought they had a deal with God, but in their mind, God has somehow let them down. They have this idea that somehow by pleasing God, they're going to be spared tragedy in their lives. Now, I know you already know this, but we all face dark nights of the soul, don't we? Regardless of how tight we might be with God, and how faithful we are in the way we try to live, we all face dark nights. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, the rain, it falls on the just and the unjust. God causes the sun to rise on evil and on good. The prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament quite often lost their lives because of their faith. When people think of the promise of God, they often only think about here and now instead of through the lens of eternity and in the fullness of time. In our first reading, the prophet Jeremiah was addressing people who had no hope. His words came at a time when he's under guard and the Babylonians are besieging the city of Jerusalem. The people of Israel are being overrun and sent into exile. It was a dark time. And they remembered back to the time of when David was king and how wonderful times were, and there was peace and there was prosperity, and now everything is dark and hopeless. And in the midst of this time of darkness and despair, God speaks through his prophet Jeremiah. The time is coming. The time is coming when I will fulfill my promise. A new king, a righteous king is coming, a king who is a descendant of David, and that king will do what is right and just throughout the land, and the people of Judah and Jerusalem will be rescued, and they will live in safety. Now, I want to make sure you don't miss this. Jeremiah does not say that this is going to happen this afternoon by 6 o'clock. everything's going to be great by 6 o'clock. He doesn't say tomorrow everything's going to be great, or next week everything's going to be great, or next year God's going to fix everything. Jeremiah says, speaking for the Lord, the day is coming. In this age where we expect instant solutions to everything, we have a hard time with this, the time is coming, way of thinking. We want it fixed now, not in a generation or two or three down the road. But in reality, we have little, if any, control over God's timing. And that means there are periods of time we just have to walk through darkness, that we have to endure darkness, that we have to find our way in darkness. And sometimes, no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, no matter how faithful we are, we will experience darkness. It's not that we did something wrong. It's not that we forgot to put Jesus on our dashboard. It's not that we forgot to cross a T or dot an I. It just is. Now, sure, the people of Israel had made some bad decisions and failed to follow the ways of God. But speaking for God, Jeremiah was not promising an immediate fix, but rather the time was coming, according to God's time, not theirs, that God would fulfill the promise of a Savior. One of my favorite television shows is Madam Secretary, and it's not just because of TLELA. But I'm always amazed at how the Secretary of State, Elizabeth McCord, can take the most complex problems of this world and solve them in 60 minutes. She always does it, doesn't it? It's everything's a crisis. At the end of the show, boom, it's done. And that doesn't even count the 10 minutes of commercials. 50 minutes, she solves the world's problems. And needless to say, that's not the way the world works. Oftentimes, bad things happen and you just have to learn to deal with it, to walk in the darkness, to even embrace the darkness, knowing that you're going to bump into things. Before I came here to DeWitt, I served a church in downtown Lansing, right across the street from the state capitol. And every Good Friday, the four Protestant churches would worship together on Good Friday. And every year, there was this one pastor, loved this guy, but every year, he would do this. He would stop talking about the pain of Good Friday, and he'd start talking about the glory of Easter. And the other three pastors were like, every year, come on, man. And we'd encourage him, don't go there. Let's just stay on Good Friday. Let's not fast forward to Easter. Because it's important that we experience the grief and that we wallow in the darkness of Good Friday, where Jesus hung on the cross. His disciples were crushed. They didn't know what was coming. They were there in that darkness. And sometimes we just need to say, we're in the darkness. But you know what? There's a lot to learn in the darkness, isn't there? There's a lot to learn while we wait for that time that is coming. There is a lot to learn when we learn to wait upon the Lord. While Jeremiah's words from the Lord did not remove his people from darkness, his words did light a candle in the darkness. While things were dark, there were things to learn in the darkness. And Jeremiah, speaking for the Lord, lit a candle of hope. In our thought for today, which is from Anne Frank, I love this. She writes, look at how a single candle can both defy and define the darkness. Our faith does not instantaneously fix everything, but it lights a candle of hope which gives us light even when we experience the most dark times in our life. And Jeremiah's message for us today is not that we won't experience darkness, not that the darkness will dissipate tomorrow or next week or next year, but that in God's timing there will be justice. That in God's timing there will be peace. That in God's timing all things will be reconciled We want it now. But God says, the time is coming. So we wait. But we wait with hope. Our New Testament reading for today is kind of the other bookend to the words from Jeremiah. Jeremiah gives witness to the one who is to come, the one who is then the lineage of King David, to Jesus, whom we believe to be the long-promised Messiah and Savior. But in Luke chapter 21, and it's also recorded in Matthew and Mark, Jesus speaks of the second advent, of an end of this age, of a fullness of time, where all that we know will pass away. In the book of Revelation, we read where God will usher in a new heaven and a new earth, where all of creation will once again be redeemed, where wolves will lay down with lambs, where there will be finally peace. And Jesus said, not even the Son of Man knows when this will take place. But in our reading for today, Jesus said, there will be signs. He said there will be times when whole countries will be in despair, afraid of the roar of the seas and the raging tides. And I immediately think of global warming. But every year somebody thinks the world's going to end and they point to all these little things, you know, what says this, it says that. And every year some quack comes up with a date when the world as we know it's going to come to an end and when Jesus is going to return. Yet Jesus himself says he doesn't know the time. Only the Father in heaven. So I don't think we should get all wrapped up in the signs of when and how and try to figure that out because we're not. But rather focus on right now. Right now. To live with hope in the land of the in-between. In this time in between. In this time of both light and darkness. In this time where we both wait upon the Lord and prepare the way of the Lord as we do his work in the present, in the now. I'm going to close with this. It's from Susan Henry Crow, who for 22 years served as dean of the chapel at Emory University. She wrote this. After 20 centuries, wars, poverty, and injustice still reign. The world is racked with violence, yet it's not destroyed. It's filled with destruction, yet not overcome. We live amidst injustice and poverty and prejudice, yet there are signs of justice, fullness, and hope. And we watch, and we wait, and we wonder. God has come, but God has not finished. So we walk in darkness, but we carry with us a candle of hope. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, but we do know that the time is coming when God will reveal and God will redeem all things. Let's pray. Lord, we've all experienced the darkness of this world in which we live. So often we walk with fear as we face the unknown. In this darkness, help us to walk with faith and to carry with us a candle of hope, which both defies and defines the darkness. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.